森も嫌がる、盆から咲きな、水も縛れるし、子も泣くし、この子よ痩せるやら。
When I was a little girl, growing up in Japan, once I asked my grandmother, Grandma, how come all the lullabies you sing sound so sad? They are all about how hard babysitting is and how the babysitters miss their own parents. That is because those songs were created by poor young girls of long time ago, my grandma answered. Those young girls always had to take care of their brothers and sisters, even though they were very young themselves, sometimes only 5 or 6 years old. Because family had many children back then, and parents had to work hard in the field. Many girls, when they were a little older, were sold to wealthy families to become komori, the live-in babysitters. Life used to be very hard, you know. Well, I was too young to understand it then. And now both my grandma and her lullabies are long gone. But this song stayed with me all these years and helped us create this story based on an old tale from Japan.
Once upon a time, there was a young girl named Yumi. She lived with her elderly father up in the mountains of southern Japan. Yumi's father was a woodcutter, but he was often very sick and couldn't work hard. Yumi had to cook and clean, grow vegetables in her garden, and do her best to take care of her elderly father. But the family was getting poorer and poorer. Finally, they couldn't afford rice or medicine for her father. Yumi decided she had to do something.
Father, let me go down the mountain to the big village and work for Shoya-sama, the rich landlord. He is the richest man around, and I hear that he has many small children. I can become his komori, a live-in babysitter, and send you all the money I make.
Oh, Yumi, I cannot let you do that. I hear that landlord is a cruel and greedy man.
Please, Father, let me do this. Otherwise, we will both starve. I'm going to ask Shoya-sama to pay you some money up front so that you can buy your medicine.
Yumi's father wanted to protest, but there was really nothing he could say. So finally, with tears streaming down his face, he nodded.
The next day, Yumi took a day's journey down the mountain to the big village. Shoya-sama's mansion was right at the center of the village. Shoya-sama looked at Yumi up and down with his mean eyes.
Pittance! You're too small for a wage. But my wife just had a baby, and I also have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. You must take care of all of them and do kitchen work, and run errands. Can you do it?
Yes, I can, Yumi said. So please send some money to my father.
We'll see.
All day long, Yumi changed diapers and fed the children. She also cooked and cleaned and washed for Shoya-sama's wife. Whenever she ran errands, villagers saw her hurrying down the street with the crying baby strapped on her back and holding the hands of the other children. At night, the baby would cry and keep her awake. Yumi was overwhelmed, but she never complained. I cannot quit, she kept saying to herself, because I must help my father. She missed him terribly, though. Late at night, finally alone on her sleeping mat, she would worry about her father and weep quietly.
One evening, the baby would just not stop crying. Yumi carried him outside and tried to soothe him, singing softly and walking up and down the street.
Kono koyo naku mori o baijiru mori mo ichi nichi yaseru yara.
When the baby finally fell asleep, Yumi was exhausted. She leaned against the gate to rest for a while.
Are you all right?
She looked up to the concerned gaze of an earnest-looking young man. His name was Shiro. He was one of Shoya-sama's gardeners. Yumi had seen him before, trimming the big pine trees around Shoya-sama's house.
Yes, I'm all right. I was just a little tired.
Let me hold the baby for a while.
They stood there and talked for a while. The next day, Shiro gave Yumi a piece of wood. It was funny shaped and sanded smooth, perfect for the baby to grab and play with. Yumi asked him where he got it.
I made it. I like to whittle things out of wood when I have some time.
It's wonderful. You see how the baby likes it?
After that, Shiro brought more toys for the children to play with. The children loved the toys, and it made it easier for Yumi to take care of them. Yumi was happy that she had a friend. Whenever they passed each other around the house, they would sneak a minute to talk. Shiro told Yumi that he was also from a poor family and had been sold to a master gardener when he was only 5. And Yumi told Shiro about her father.
I miss my father so much, you know. Oh, I wish I could just see him. Well, Yumi did not see Shiro around for a few days after that. But the next time she saw him, he had a wonderful surprise for her.
You know, I was thinking about your father and how important he is to you, and I made this for you.
It was a simple wooden mask, a kindly face of an old man just like her father. Yumi was speechless. This is so wonderful. Thank you, Shiro-san. Yumi hung the mask on the wall right next to her sleeping mat. It made her feel as if her father was right there, watching over her. Every morning, Yumi would greet the mask and ask him to protect her. And every night, she would tell him what happened during the day and said goodnight to him. The mask gave her hope and courage to go through the hard days.
Seasons changed. Yumi had not been home for almost 2 years. She hoped that her master would let her make a short visit home during Obon, the ancestral festival in August, but that was still several months away. Shiro knew how to write a little, and he had helped her write some letters to her father, but she had not heard from him in a long time. As Yumi sang her Komori Uta, the lamenting song of the live-in babysitters, Shiro would often sing with her.
Bon ga kita tote, nani ureshii karo. Katabira wa nashi, obi wa nashi.
One early spring evening, Shiro was leaving Shoya-sama's house after a day's work. As he was passing by the window of Shoya-sama's room, he heard Shoya-sama yelling at his wife.
I will not let Yumi go. I paid for her up front. She still owes me.
When Shiro heard his friend's name, he stopped to listen. He heard Shoya-sama's wife's voice, trembling and pleading.
But husband, you must let her go home. Her father is dying. It said so in this letter.
Damare! I said no. And if you mention this to her, I will beat you.
What? What are you going to do with this letter?
burn it like I did with all the others.
What was Shiro to do? He had to let Yumi know about her father at once and help her get home. And yet, how could a poor gardener like himself accuse the rich man of lying? Shoya-sama would never let Yumi go anyway because of the debt. But there was no time to lose.
The next morning, Yumi woke at dawn as usual, but a shocking sight caught her gaze. The mask that she kept on her wall had changed. Instead of the kindly old face, there was a face of an oni monster, horns of a dragon, fangs of a tiger, blood red with fury.
What? What is this? What happened to the mask? This must be a sign. Something terrible must have happened to father.
Yumi went to Shoya-sama at once and begged to leave, but he would not hear of it.
How dare you think of leaving me? I own you!
You do not own me. Yumi held up the mask. Look what happened to the mask of my father.
The mask seemed to look at the rich man straight in his eyes. He fell back, clutching his chest. He was so frightened, he couldn't even speak.
Yumi stuffed the mask into her kimono and rushed out of the house and started to run. As she started to climb up the mountain, she heard footsteps behind her. It was Shiro.
Let me come with you. I brought some medicine from Shoya-sama's house.
Late that night, they reached Yumi's home. Her father was still alive, but just barely. For the next few days, Yumi and Shiro hardly slept, taking care of the old man. The father lived. When he finally opened his eyes, they were quickly filled with tears.
Yumi, I thought I'd never see you again.
Yumi urged Shiro to get some rest. Then Shiro looked at Yumi thoughtfully and asked her to come out of the house.
You know, I've been watching you for a long time. I know what kind of person you are and how hard you work. And I know you'd never want to leave your father again. I thought, if you want me to, Yumi, I could stay here with you and we could work together and take care of your father.
Suddenly, Yumi's cheeks were burning hot. She could hear her own heart beating fast. Without answering, she turned around and rushed into the house. But in her haste, she stumbled over the bundle of clothes that Shiro had brought with him. Out fell a mask. There was the face of the kind old man. And Yumi realized what Shiro had done. When she came out of the house again, Yumi's eyes were filled with deep gratitude and gentle love for this quiet young man who had always been there for her. She slowly nodded and smiled. Hand in hand, they looked into each other's eyes as the soft light of spring dawn began to fill the mountain air.
Hayaku yuki tai wa ano zaisho koete mukou ni mieru.